Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me. Ooh, there she is, just walking on, saying do on Daddy Sharp Tongue Podcast. What's up, my people? It's your girl, Jessie Mae Peluso, in your ear. Sharp Tongue Tuesday, a little bit of grandma's wind chimes. Some shaman shit going down. I just want to give a shout out to Hakuna Supply. Our amazing stash box, stash jar, rolling tray, happy weeds day grinders. If you guys have been saying to yourself, you know what I'm missing? I'm missing a stash jar with Jessie Mae's face on it. Search no further. If you've said to yourself, you know what? I'm looking for a little box to stash all of my herbal needs, and I would love to have Jessie Mae's face on a blunt. Look no further. If you've said to yourself, you know, I love Weeds Day, every Wednesday that I watch on Facebook Live, where she advocates for cannabis and Alzheimer's awareness, I would love to have a happy Weeds Day grinder, metal four-tier grinder. Look no fucking further. Hakuna Supply for you. HakunaSupply.com/Jessie Mae will get you all of your stash needs. Whether you want to stash your jewelry in there, if you want to put your cotton balls in the jars, if you want to put your jewelry in the boxes or on the cute little hilarious rolling tray, or if you just want to put weed in everything. Hey, it's becoming legalized and no one's going to fucking judge you on this podcast. And you know what? Use code JessieMayCBD at checkout and you're going to get 15% off your entire order. That's HakunaSupply.com/Jessie Mae, motherfucker. I'm in your ear. I just got back from watching Child's Play, the reboot. I gotta tell you, when I was a kid, Child's Play, the original, scared the fuck out of me. I, to this day, am still scared about putting my feet down under the bed because I'm afraid that Chucky's gonna slice my fucking ankles. And not only that, my dad, that was one of the first scary movies that I watched with my father. I actually remember watching that in my living room and my mom was in the kitchen and you know, that movie was just so fucking ridiculous. It was like 1988, you know, I think it was based in Chicago. Catherine Hicks is in it. I think, oh, what was that kid? Alex Vincent played the kid. Tom Holland directed it. And Tom Holland also did just a lot of weird stuff, but he's an actor as well. He's in like Avengers Endgame. He's in a couple other random, maybe Captain America. I can't remember, but he directed it. And this movie scared the fuck out of me when I was a kid. It scared the fuck out of me. The original? No, forget it. Do you guys even remember the original? Wait, can we do this? Hold on. It's so hard to like, oh my God, listen to the music. Fucking creepy. Everyone has a birthday they always remember. Can we open my presents now, Mommy? A good guy. I know it.
I'm Chucky.
He's something, isn't he?
This is Andy's.
Time for bed, Andy.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Aunt Maggie.
That doll's gonna fuck up Aunt Maggie. She doesn't even realize it yet, but that doll's gonna fucking come for her.
Good night,
Chucky's gonna fuck everybody up in this house. This trailer is so terrifying. And he jacks everybody up. He murders everybody, this little fucking doll. And then there was the sequel that wasn't too bad. Oh my God, Aunt Maggie's flying out the fucking window. This is the original. And the reboot wasn't that bad. I gotta be honest. I enjoyed it, man. It was funny. I like, if a horror movie's gonna also be comedy, it has to embrace the comedy a little bit more than the horror. Just a millimeter more than the scary. That's a fine balance. Because if you're gonna be scary, you better be fucking scary. And not on accident Jaws style. I'm talking like, I want to see your intentional scary situation. You know, because I'm such a consumer of these movies. I love all scary movies, even the bad ones. But if you're in for a movie that understands that it's not a groundbreaking, terrifying movie, but it's acted well, funny, and the casting was amazing. Aubrey Plaza was great. You got to watch it. Go out and see if that's your thing. And then there's this other movie coming out that's like based in Sweden or Norway, and it's called Midsommar. Midsommar, basically like what they call Midsommar in Scandinavia, and it looks freaky. That's coming out July 4th. Sometimes these like sleeper horror movies come out in the middle of the summer, and we get fucking lucky. We get real fucking lucky. Speaking of coming out in the middle of summer, I gotta tell you guys where the F I'm gonna be. What month are we in? Are we still in June? God, June is almost... Is June almost fucking over? Well, Tuesday, June 25th, I'm gonna be at the Comedy Store, Main Room, Comedy Chaos, 10:30 show. I don't know if there's tickets still available, but check it out. Thank you for everybody who tuned into Confetti last Friday. I was able to promote and bring awareness to Alzheimer's. Facebook was nice enough to allow me to promote the Alzheimer's organization, alts.org, and we raised a little bit of awareness and let everybody know that it was the longest day. Last Friday was the longest day. You know, when the sun comes up early, goes to bed late, and then it says fuck you for the rest of the year. So hopefully we were able to raise a little bit of funds and charity for a great cause. I'm going to be coming out midsummer, July 17th to the 28th at the Just for Last Festival. I'll be doing all the nasty shows out at the Just for Last Festival in Montreal, Juperi. So that's middle to the end of July 17th to the 28th, August 8th, 9th, and 10th. I will be in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm going to be driving home again the middle of August. I can't wait. My third cross-country trip. And hopefully it'll be just as fun as the first two, you know? Hopefully there won't be any murderers, no dolls that come and stab me behind dumpsters. Hopefully I won't fall in a dumpster and the lid gets locked and I'm dead forever. You know, just these are things that I'm thinking about. I'm also going to be at Lucy's in Pleasantville, New York, Lucy's Lounge in Pleasantville, New York, September 7th. I'm going to be doing a couple colleges in Pennsylvania. I'll be at the KC Improv, University of Kansas, and Prescott, Arizona. That's all through September. And a bunch of fall dates, more are being added. The schedule's filling up nicely. Go to jessiemay.com. Check it out. And you know, please rate and review the podcast. I've read through some of the reviews, and you guys are goddamn unicorns. Thank you for being so generous and fucking magical to review me. So please leave a review. Tell your friends about the podcast. Share it. And sharing is caring. As my little nephew Elliot said, sharing is caring. I had to bribe him to fucking say it because he didn't want to share anything. This dude, he's like, I don't want to share. And then he started saying sharing is caring. He's three. And I asked him what he wanted to be when he growed up. Not his aunt. I asked what he wanted to be when he grew up. And he said a monster. So... already achieved. I gotta tell you, being an aunt is really magical. You know, bonding with a small human who shares your DNA just enough so that you can give them back at the end of the day is really magical. I don't know how my sister and her husband do it. They are basically raising two toddlers. Both are demonic. One screams and her head rotates at a 360, and the other one laughs like demons are inside of him. So, you know, it's basically bonding and Plan D simultaneously. You know, I'm like, oh my God, they're so cute. And then I'm like, will they suck my soul out at night like Stephen King's Cat's Eye? And the answer is probs, totes my goats. But I gotta tell you, being the drunk aunt, oh, it's worth its weight in tequila. I gotta be honest. I don't know if I'm gonna pop one out. I don't know if I'm gonna have one of my own. I gotta give my niece and nephew a couple more laps around the block to see if it really fits my life. I mean, you know, it makes you kind of, when you hear stories about Casey Anthony and people like that, you kind of fucking get it. The bitch wanted to go out on a Friday night and didn't want her kid anymore. Put her in a bag. Not okay. Not condoning it, but I can see how parents snap. I can see how people lose their minds. And I'm not saying you should do that. Obviously, if you hurt a baby, you should also be tortured. But I kind of get it just from hanging out with my niece and nephew for 24 hours. I wanted to snap someone's neck. But luckily, I'm a balanced human being, and I don't tap into that animal side. I just kind of let it flow off my back because I have blunts. Blunts are vital. I think blunts will make you a better parent. Honestly, if you're stressed out and all you do is day drink, you got to mix it up. You need balance, and blunts will bring that balance. This PSA on better parenting brought to you by Jessie Mae Peluso. Jessie Mae Puff Puff Peluso. Smoking you one day at a time, making you a parent. That's what blunts. Blunts, that's what their slogan should be. Blunts, making you a better parent one puff at a time. Oh my God. Well, let's get into this interview. I'm excited. This person's leaving LA. One of my friends out here, he's leaving. He has some codependency issues. He's basically had a lot of unhealthy, toxic relationships in his past, and he's leaving LA for a girl. This should turn out well. Here's the very funny, politically fueled and built like a chimpanzee, Mr. Jamie Kilstein. Oh, fuck, you're leaving LA.
Can I tell you, I was legitimately nervous about coming here because, like, this is the podcast I've done the most. We're friends. So I wasn't nervous about that. I was nervous because me and you get so deep in these podcasts that I'm leaving LA in 2 days. And I started to get nervous because I'm like, you're going to be the first person I have to share my open, honest fears and feelings with about all of this.
Yeah, you can't hide it. I'm going to see right
that
through
my
it.
Heart started racing right when I got into your neighborhood, being like, am I going to break up with my girlfriend? Am I going to, like, I don't know what's going to happen after this podcast.
It's like a cliffhanger to a show.
Yeah, yeah. And then when you started singing during your mic check, and I've been doing that to myself, like, nervously, like, what the fuck am I doing with my fucking life? Oh my God, terror, terror, terror. And that's the way I've been handling stress. So now it's just, it's all meant to be. It's all
I do that
together.
Too, though. Like, if I'm stressed out, I'll sing to myself. Or if someone's pissing me off, like, this fucking bitch is taking forever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I started doing it. I think the most popular thing I ever did on my podcast wasn't like any of the like fucking interviews I desperately tried to like get or anything like that. It was, I was so upset about, like, we bombed Syria or something and I didn't want to cover it because it was so sad. And I just, in a panic, just read the article in that sing song where I'm like, 4 children fucking dead in Syria. We funded we funded Saudi Arabia. They used our weapons. And it was just like, yeah, it's how I deal with panic. It's the best.
It delivers it. It delivers it softly.
It does.
It does. Have you ever, like, unleashed anger on a stranger? And I ask that because I have been hanging out with children.
Yeah, okay.
My niece and nephew. And they've unearthed a visceral rage in me. Like, it's out of love.
Incredible.
The rage is purely out of love.
Yeah.
But I honestly said to myself, I understand why parents snap.
Sure.
Like, well, not Casey Anthony, not that far.
Okay.
Not putting your kid in a bag so you can go out on a Friday night.
Sure.
But like,
well, where else are you gonna put him? You made that sound normal. Put him in a bag. Put your fucking kid in a bag so you can go out on a Friday night.
But yeah. I can under, like, I've never snapped on somebody in public, and I had to like talk myself down off of a ledge yesterday. It's also most of that time of month.
By the way, when you said someone, there's a difference between someone and children. You definitely like
no, heightened. Not snapping at the children.
Oh, snap! The children were
growing the rage,
growing the rage,
and the rage almost came out. You know, that projected anger. Yeah,
I did such a. I don't even know if you would call this like an old man thing. I did a weird thing because I've just been more anxious and depressed, maybe suicidal. Than I've been. Yeah.
Is it because bigger changes are coming?
I think so, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out if I'm doing the wrong thing or if I'm sabotaging a really wonderful thing.
That, probably the latter. Probably.
And so I've just been very, very tense. And my girlfriend and I were in the elevator yesterday, and this woman came in, and I go, hey, because yeah, I always say hi to people, and everyone in my building is really nice. And she just like stared at us. And suddenly I was like, I guess you're who I'm taking all my shit out on. Like, I got so mad.
At her?
And I just went, cool. And then she then she hit the button right above me. So we were going to have to stop again. And I go, awesome. And then, and I don't do this, like, at all.
And then you punched her.
And then I beat the shit out of her and put her in a bag. Put her in a fucking bag. That's why you got to say hi to people on the elevator. Three children dead in Saudi Arabia. So then I'm sweating already, by the way.
We're available for babysitting.
By the time you go to pay Jessamay for her babysitting, her rage will be at peak.
Oh my God.
And then when she left, this is the, I've never done this. I became an old passive aggressive like mother where she walked out, she goes to walk out of the elevator and I go, have a great day. Like super, I sounded like the angry mom at like the playground. And then she turned around, by the way, lovely smile. And I was like, fuck, did she just not hear me the first time?
Because then it could be like a medical issue. Is she deaf?
Or like, did she not speak English? Like, right. What's an Airbnb situation? Or also, like, who the fuck am I that I deserve a hello? Where, like, what did I think? I was going to be like, hi. And she was going to, like, break into applause. Like, oh, you're such a fucking gentleman. So, like, I'm the piece of shit on, like, many levels. I think if you like hold the door for someone and they don't say thank you, you can follow them to your car shouting you're welcome. Like that I think is fine. But I definitely think the elevator woman, it was 100% me being a psychopath.
I definitely want to title this episode, I'm the piece of shit on many levels.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. And then people will be like, wow, who's the guest? And then they'll see my name and they'll be like, oh, that's right. That sounds right.
But that happens though, man. And it's like the anger that you put out is so far from the source of what created it.
So far.
And so the person who gets it has no idea. And then we're all revolving in these like circles in society, just projecting mini angers on people all day long.
Oh, I've had people, man, maybe I am a psycho. I've had people like honk at me in the car, and instead of flipping them off, I'll just be like, if their windows are down, I'll be like, who hurt you? Because it's not about me at all.
Yeah, I'm a great driver. Yeah, who hurt you? I said that to a dude.
Did you?
Yeah. It wasn't because he was angry. It was because he was really sad.
Oh, okay.
And he just was so open, and not open in a way of like love, open in a way of please fill me with something.
Right.
Similar to you sometimes.
Similar to every comedian.
Yeah, every comedian we've ever met.
Also similar to me always. That was like the kindest thing you've ever said to me was giving me that sometimes. you want to hear the shittiest thing I've said to my girlfriend? So
yes.
We're not mean to each other. We've just been in like panic. And usually what'll happen is I'll just go to sleep. That's how I slowly will go to sleep when things get scary.
Well, that can help.
It's the best.
Yeah.
But the other day I said to her, I go, I said something like, I was like, did I hurt somebody in your life and they sent you to avenge them? Like she did, she like lied about something.
What?
And I got so mad.
Do you want to go into the lie?
I mean, we can't. I shouldn't, but we can. Okay. Can we put your audience on the honor system? I mean,
yes.
She's not on social media.
Guys, we're on the honor system because
I have a lot of shit that I would tell you off air that I feel like I have to unload.
We're somewhere. Dishing the relationship dirt. So you guys have to do the Plusonian honor.
We can have a code too for like, break up or stay together. Like if they tweet me and they're like, take the gig, that means break up. Like do comedy again.
Yeah, okay, that's what we'll do.
So take the gig.
Take the gig.
And what could be, what's stay in the relationship?
Stay in the relationship would be book the, take the gig.
Trust your agent.
Yeah, trust your agent. But take the gig if he should leave her.
This doesn't even make sense, but it makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. And trust your agent if he should stay.
If I should stay.
But you'll,
by the way, you can already see subconsciously where I'm at, because like taking the gig is like the cool on the road thing.
Yeah.
And like trusting your agent is like the boring fucking like status quo. Like I'm like, I want to do the artsy. She's wonderful.
How long have you guys been together? Can we start there?
Sure.
Oh, this part's gonna really make me a man.
Here's how we can actually start. Remember the last time I was on your podcast and you told me not to move too fast?
Yes.
And it's a different girl.
Oh my god,
I wish you could see.
It's a different girl.
I wish everyone could see your face.
Here's
the thing, when you text,
now they can.
When I texted you about this, that I'm moving, and you reacted by being like, bah, don't do that.
And did I, what was the second question?
It was probably like, you're moving too fast or whatever. But you thought, I'm pretty positive you thought it was the first girl, which means at least then it would be.
Then it would be like some, months. Right.
Still not enough to uproot your life. And
where are you uprooting to?
Arizona.
Arizona. Have you seen the creatures in Arizona?
Yeah.
People aren't meant to live in the desert.
But the creatures in Los Angeles are almost getting hit by cars Instagram storying themselves.
Yeah, so I would rather. The agents and the Instagram models out here are also creatures.
I would rather go to a state where they don't know what an influencer is. You know what
I mean? You say that, but then you walk by a cactus that shoots. They have shooting cactus.
Do they?
Yes.
Holy shit. It is fucking cool. Like, I've never thought I would want to go to the desert or anything like that. And it feels like you're on another planet.
Oh, it's definitely like it's reptilian in a different era.
Yeah.
It's everything's so dry. Muy seca.
Yeah.
And the bugs just reflect that lack of moisture. And yeah. The people... I swear everyone there is a shaman. So I feel like they're all mystical.
They're all so nice.
Really?
It's the only place I like find myself driving the speed limit because everyone is... And by the way, I'm going to talk about Phoenix. I'm not moving to Phoenix. Everyone's like, oh, cool. I love Phoenix. I'm like, oh, well,
Bisbee? You're going to move in with Stanhope?
It's like kind of by Bisbee.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, Phoenix is like trash. but like Tucson, Bisbee, Scottsdale, like there were such cool places. I haven't heard anyone honk their horn. I haven't seen people on their phone. Everyone says fucking
That's because
high.
They're dehydrated.
That could be why.
They don't have any energy.
They're just weak.
Yeah. It's they're like weak because of lack of moisture.
It's like when people are like, vegans are so nice. It's like, no, they're starving.
They're exhausted.
Yeah, they're so tired.
All they've had is a slice of kale.
Yep, and they used up all that energy yelling at their non-vegan friends.
I know, God.
I was vegan.
People are still doing
15
that.
15 years. Oh, I still have my whole sleeve.
Is that a cow?
It's a whole vegan tattoo, and I'm not
God.
Vegan anymore.
Really?
And it's not like.
See, you even overcommit to your tattoos.
Yeah, that's why I'm showing you this. And by the way, it's not like a cute thing where it says like vegan and it's like a pig holding a pig. It's literally.
It's a murder scene.
It's a massacre.
No, it's a massacre. There's a woman in a hat stabbing a cow. Oh, no, the cow is stabbing the woman.
Here's the thing.
Is that a pig with a pistol?
It is. Also, I did not know the farmer was a woman. And in the era we're living in, I always thought it was a guy, and someone was like, "That's a woman," and I was like, "Oh no!"
It kind of looks like
a
woman.
I don't want
a
woman being murdered on my arm.
Well, you know, but I mean, that's the least of your worries.
It looks like it, anyway. So yeah, so I was vegan.
So how long? What's the official length of a relationship with this chick?
Like 3 months.
Holy fuck!
I know.
And you guys are moving together to Arizona.
Yeah.
What does she do for work?
She has quit to...
to move?
To help with the pot. No, she was... here's the thing. Let me tell you
the... To help with the what?
Podcast.
So you're going to work together.
Yeah.
And you're going to live together.
Correct.
And you think that's going to turn out okay.
You know what? Your tone seems supportive enough that we can move on. Yeah, well, all right, so here's the romantic elevator pitch of it first.
Oh, gosh.
So, like,
so, yeah, sell me the show.
We go on a date. Don't even kiss on the first date. We, like, cuddle during, like, fucking How to Train Your Dragon. It's the sweetest thing. We walk around a fucking mall for hours.
I don't know if that's
just
sweet
like,
or creepy. We'll call it sweepy.
And we were just, like, talking, telling each other about our lives, etc. She had to go to Vegas the next day to meet her friends who were visiting from Australia. And we were kind of, like, looked at each other And she's like, do you want to go?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And I was like, fuck yes, because it's super romantic.
Is it?
Yes. So we take this like 6-hour road trip, tell each other everything. I tell her all of my fucking baggage, anything bad before we sleep together. I'm like, she's going to know, right?
So she can make her own decision.
Yep. So I tell her everything. She tells me all of her shit. We go to Vegas. I go, hey, why don't you hang out with your friends? Cause I'm trying not to be like codependent and like latch on.
Right. But the trip to Vegas, like you,
And I'm like,
you're like, I'm going to go hang out in the room for a couple hours.
I'm just going to write. And so like, she went out with her friends. She came back and it was awesome. Total magic. Next day we hang out with her friends. We go to like hike some fucking mountain outside of Vegas. I am totally afraid of heights, but have to like be cool, you know, and like pretend like I'm not so scared. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing this for a girl. And
you poor dudes, man.
I know. I've only been going on like dating app things, and they've been so miserable.
What apps? What's the latest app you've been rocking out on?
Hinge was like the one that I closed out on. I was on Raya for like a little bit.
Oh, you got up on Raya on the celebrity one? Look at you. That should have felt nice.
All influencers lasted a month and was immediately kicked off. Where they were like, you're not famous.
Really?
Yeah, I got like recommended in.
And you got kicked off.
Not kicked off, but they were like, you don't hold up to our standards.
Okay.
And I think that, by the way, was one of the reasons that I'm like, I have to get a fucking girlfriend immediately.
Like their standards are what? Girls who sell fit tea on Instagram and take ass photos. I'm one half of that, I will say. But at least I'm not hawking products.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm only hawking weed and my ass.
Weed and comedy dates.
And Alzheimer's. There's all that. Yeah. That's true. If you tie in a charity, you can show your coochie as much as you want. That's science.
That is what I'm.
That's social media science.
That is. Yeah. That's the direct quote from Neil deGrasse Tyson. I believe.
It is.
I was going to say Bill Nye, but decided to be a little progressive.
Well, because Bill Nye.
The black scientist.
But Neil deGrasse is actually, I think he's an astrophysicist, is his title.
Can I tell you something about Bill Nye?
Bill Nye is like a crackhead.
I did an MSNBC
I'm just kidding, Bill Nye. I love you.
Hold on.
I might be right.
So I did an MSNBC panel with him, and I was so excited to meet him. Everyone loves him.
Yeah, I love
especially
Bill Nye.
Now that he's gotten like super progressive and whatever. And by the way, he was nice, but like something has pushed that man over the edge.
Is he like
I walked into the green room,
Michael
and he
Douglas
was shuffling
edge
snacks into his bag.
What?
Like.
What do you mean?
And I walked.
What snacks though? What snacks?
I have no. It was
if it's
like,
Cheez-Its, I get it.
It wasn't like bagged snacks. It was like from like the fucking tray of like either like cheese or fruit. And I was so. I walked out like I walked in on like my girlfriend having sex with someone.
Where like, it was, you're like, what?
Haunting.
What the fuck?
Just him, because he's really tall too. Just him like hunched over the snack table, be like, and like just fucking just dragging his hand over the snacks like into his open satchel. Yeah, it was so fucking.
I imagine he's got like one of those, you know, those like paleontologists. Purses, yes, like those
he's shoveling it into shoveling the snacks.
Why
into the bag.
Is he?
I don't know.
Seems like a quirk.
Maybe he's thrifty. Yeah, I think he's just really quirky. Because we took a picture together, and he like gave me some like lecture about like how everyone holds the camera wrong. But I think that's just like his spiel. Like it's like his little joke that he gives when he takes a selfie with people.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? And I he's also been famous for so long.
For decades.
And in different worlds where he was like kid famous.
Yes.
Which is fucking weird.
And now he's adult famous.
And now he's like political adult.
Yeah, it's
really famous.
And Neil deGrasse even gave him like a stamp of approval too.
So I would.
We have to blame Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I mean, I interviewed Neil deGrasse Tyson a while ago too. And he started off seeming like an asshole and then opened up.
Yeah.
And you just forget when someone is that famous for so long, the amount of shit they put up with. Like I never judge a celebrity by like, you know, he didn't want a selfie or he yelled at a person, because thinking about what they must go through every day.
But it's not like
I yelled at a lady on an elevator for not smiling at me.
Well, that's because you have an enormous void on the inside.
Right,
being filled with all different
with
things.
Arizona. Arizona's gonna save me. I literally think it's gonna
save. There you go. Got a horn for you, Katie. Got Arizona. A horn.
We've said that even in the relationship where we're like, what are we going to do? And we're like, we're just fucking, it'll get better in Arizona.
But like to the point of Neil deGrasse Tyson and Bill Nye being jerks, it's not like they're science nerds.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not like they're, you know, a Kim Kardashian where you would expect that to be a bitch.
Like, their job still sucks. If we get famous for comedy, we get to do comedy.
Yeah.
If they get famous for science, they have all the downsides of being famous, but then they have to still go do like peer reviewed studies.
Yeah.
They have to, like, far lamer.
Go and deal with chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe burn themselves. We still just get to like party for 45 minutes.
They have to go realize there is life on other planets and they're stuck with us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they're also they're seeing the effects of climate change while we're just like fucking like smoking weed after a show with fans. And we're like, fame's so hard. And they're like, we're all going to die. The earth is burning. Yeah, it's no good.
And I mean, speaking of earth is burning, you're going to be living in the hottest, driest place ever.
I've ignored anytime someone tells me something bad about Arizona, I'm just like, it's fine.
It is a beautiful place. I will say it's a beautiful place. My only concern is that you're both going to this place and starting anew together.
Yeah.
My concern is you're trying to put roots in a place, a new place to live, when you guys don't have roots in your relationship yet.
Yeah, so we were both, that was pretty good. we were both pretty miserable here. She hated her fucking job. And
what was she doing?
Just like she was doing like marketing and shit, but for some like bullshit company she didn't care about. And everyone was like drinking there and gossipy, and like the pay was shit, and it was just your classic, just awful 9-to-5. And because of that, she was, you know, I mean, she told me like early on, she was turning into this like person she didn't want to be, where she was just doing like the classic, like dating apps, go get drunk. It was just awful.
And cyclical bullshit.
Yeah. And it's not who she is. Like, she's really fucking funny and weird and nice. And she was just turning into one of those 9-to-5 robots who would be like, it's so funny. I still see her break into it. And it's like her 9-to-5 robot is still being like killed by her like creative person, where she'll be like super funny and we're like doing bits together. And then we'll go to the supermarket or something and she'll be like, hey, working for the weekend. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it was like a spirit of just some weird, like, it's so bizarre. And I'm like, well, that's not you. Like, you're a weird, quirky person. And she's like, well, I gotta hate Mondays, short circuit. Like, it's so bizarre. And
is it possible that you don't quite know the full person yet?
That could also be it.
I mean, I'm telling you right now, it's 100% it. Totally. It takes at least 6 months to start to really smell out the real bullshit.
No, and I agree. But I will say that what's cool about this, no matter what happens, and I was fucking positive, like, here's something she doesn't fucking know. Like, I have an engagement ring. I haven't told anyone that. I haven't told my friends.
You have
that.
An engagement ring?
Yeah.
For her?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, now it's fucking very deeply hidden.
In a Ziploc in your bunghole?
Yeah.
Please hide it someplace really good.
It's in my baby bag in case I make that mistake as well.
It's in the stroller that I bought next door.
Was there
just like a shopping mall of bad decisions? It's like gun, engagement ring, strollers, meth.
There's a kid in the closet. I'm like, shh, I don't know how far this is going to go anymore.
Well, you really got an engagement ring.
Yeah.
Can't you see you move too fast?
So here's the sad part of it. The sad part is this. So I was married.
Right.
And that was a public disaster. But we were together for like 10 years, 11 years, something like that. And it just turned into a friendship for the last 5 years. We tried an open relationship, which was her idea. I tried the like sleeping around on the road thing.
What were the worst aspects of the open relationship?
It's hard for me to speak on that because our relationship was broken in ways that like I can't really talk about. And
So it's not like you went into it in a healthy, like, it wasn't like, hey, let's just try this for fun. It was like, maybe this will fix it.
Yes.
Right.
100%. And I mean, I will say that communication and both having the exact same goals and wants and needs is the only way to do it. Because I'll see people who are like public advocates for open relationships and they're like, it's a great thing. People come at us, but like, we know we love each other. And then like the next day they're on Instagram and they're like, you know, it's really just about perseverance. And they're like, ew. Like, it seems like a fucking nightmare. But monogamy is also really hard.
Monogamy, yeah. It's very difficult. And it almost comes down to like the balance happening within each individual human.
Yeah.
Because we all have voids that we're trying to fill, and we all have needs. And there's like, I feel like every relationship at its most healthiest is a constant push and pull. Mm-hmm. Like the person wants to be wanted and needed, and then they also want to provide. And we're dancing in that middle ground of, does he love me? Am I the one that's loved more? And I love him more. Like, it's that constant back and forth.
I heard once someone say that, like, the key, maybe it was just to a good sex life or passion, is attraction and an obstacle. A lot of times,
it's an obstacle. 100%. Whether it's long distance, an obstacle.
Even right now, like, we've been struggling, but, like, the attraction and the passion and stuff, that has not gone away.
Because it's been 5 minutes.
Because it's been 5 minutes, and it's just been fucking chaos. And it's like pandemonium.
And chemistry and chaos is not realistic or based on love.
Yeah. So here's what I will say that's good for both of us, which is I've only lived in New York and LA. She has never actually done something she's passionate about. No matter what happens, we are in a better situation now than we were before we met.
Individually. Right.
100%. It's the happiest she's ever been. It's the first time she's ever felt supported. It's the first time she said that someone has like fucking believed in her. She's always just been like the girlfriend.
Have you met any of her people? Her family, friends?
Yep, I fucking flew to Dallas. She's like...
That's right. I remember when you said you were going to Dallas.
She said her family has like never taken to someone like this. Like her mom like texts like, I love you. Like there's something really special about us.
You sure it's not a cult that they're trying to get you into?
Yeah. Or the have you just... As well.
Yeah. Is the mom also missing some love in the relationship?
Yeah. She's moving to Arizona with us. That's normal, right?
We have a mother-in-law apartment and we are not married yet. We're doing everything backwards.
I got it at the store. Bad decisions.
We just picked out each other's funeral plots.
Yeah. Oh, God. That would be fucking cathartic at this point.
I think everyone should do shit backwards.
Do it backwards.
Do it all backwards. Get divorced, then married, then have the kid.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I'm doing. Oh, but that's another thing. So when I was doing the like one night stand stuff, I didn't like that either. And this was the first... It's hard because part of me, and she asked me this yesterday, she's like, were you happier before? And part of me...
Happier before what?
We met. Like that lifestyle. And I will say that before we met and after the divorce, I spent 2 years, 3 years, getting incredibly healthy, focusing on jiu-jitsu, focusing
yourself.
On my diet. I'm not drinking. I was writing. I was doing art. I was like... And then
you were loving yourself.
And then just like little things. Like I'm like, I want to watch pro wrestling. I used to love pro wrestling. And like I started
Why I wore the shirt.
I know, it's so sweet.
I wore a Josh Wolf's shirt for you. It says, I'll wrestle you.
Yes. I love it so much. I love it so much. And so like little things like that. But when it came to dating, I was miserable doing dating apps. I was miserable like when I was having sex.
Was it hard for you to connect?
It was hard for me to connect. And I also feel like I have this thing where I'm not guy in a bar you want to fuck hot, but I'm like little baby bird you want to nurse back to health hot. You know what I mean? Like I'm very,
there's a small part of me that wants to go find a worm, chew it up and put it back into you.
That's it.
But I'm also ovulating. So I don't know what came first, the chicken or your egg.
Yeah. It's probably both. Yeah. and so like, this is going to sound super. So
when you moving to Arizona has already trumped everything else.
Okay, good. Well, like a lot of times, like I feel like I'm good at sex because I'm needy. Like, I want to do a bit about this. Like, I want to do a bit
about... For women, yeah.
Yeah, like my tombstone, like, will literally read, like, cool, cool, but you came, right? Like, it's like that kind of, like, I just... And so what happens is there's, like, the needy, broken artist thing, and then there's, like, this... Like, I don't know how to just have sex in, like, a not connecting way. So then what happens is... The girls will get attached, and now I'm like, oh, am I going to be an asshole? Even when we said, and this happened in the open relationship.
Because you have the attachment sex where you give it your all.
Yes.
You give it your all.
And that was one of the biggest problems in the open relationship was suddenly I felt like I was cheating because all these girls who knew I was in an open relationship wanted something more, and I was like, fuck.
I think it definitely is, on both sides, everyone's just, until you take the time like you took after to do the things that you need to do for your soul, you're always going to be wanting more from other people.
Yeah. And so when I met my girlfriend, it really did seem like, oh, wow, this is perfect on every level. And then
why was it perfect on every level?
We just really, really connected. And she was just...
You can burp. You can let it out.
Thank you.
Are you going to cry?
I'm going to cry. and she was... just, again, really sweet and funny and supportive. And, like, I've been in long relationships with, like, very mean people. And
why do you think you've been in, why do you think you've stayed in relationships with mean people?
Oh, because my mom's an alcoholic and I want to fix them.
Ah.
You know? Simple. And I think I deserve that abuse.
Right. That's your source of love and your idea of love is based in abuse.
Yeah. So my, like, my last, the last girl I was with for a long time was like a year ago or 2 years ago. And we were together for like a year. And she was far and away the most gorgeous girl like I've ever seen. Like, where in the very beginning, I'm like, you're too hot for me. This shouldn't. So then when she turned out to be like mean and jealous and like even like physically abusive, there was part of me that I'm like, oh yeah, well, this is the price you pay.
Yeah. Because
I'm
gorgeous, like, girls are demons.
Yeah.
Science.
Science. So I don't deserve. I was trying to think of another scientist and I literally don't know anyone. Lewis and Clark. I don't know Lewis anyone besides Bill Nye.
And, is Jane Goodall considered a scientist?
Yeah, sure.
She's like an animal activist. Yeah.
She talks
R.I.P.
to
R.I.P. Is she dead?
She lives with the gorillas now.
Okay.
That's a metaphor.
Maybe you can go dead. More. You can go live with her. Oh, she is dead.
I think so.
Yeah. See, I would have more. I'm more of an issue of you moving to Arizona than you living with Jane Goodall, who's dead in the jungle with the apes.
Just holding on to a dead Jane Goodall. You're like, finally, Jamie's grown up.
He's fulfilled his heart. He's good.
Doing stand up for the gorillas. I forgot what I was talking about. Codependent, needy. Oh.
You were meeting her and you were talking about how everything was perfect.
Yeah, and she was just so kind and nice. And, you know, when I met her family, she comes from kind of like a conservative Southern family. And
oh,
like, I've
boy.
Never really had
and
that.
You show up with that man chip face and all those tattoos.
Yeah, and they fucking loved it. And she never dated anyone with tattoos. She never. And we talked about politics and it was wonderful. Her family is fucking wonderful. She is wonderful.
I mean, it could be. Something real.
Yeah. And again, I've only lived in New York. I've only lived in LA. I've never just focused on my art and getting out of the noise and not worrying about who's in the audience and stuff like that. And we can talk about that's like the comedy stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah. Like what?
And then she's never had a job she's cared about. And she's always just been in this fucking drag and she's healthier than she's ever been. And she's not drinking.
But why not do that here? Why not do it in LA?
Well, so then there's the other thing, which is just I'm still rebuilding my career. And the podcast is new and it's taken off enough where we're making a living, but not a great one. And I just decided I want to start doing stand-up again. But I'm like, it was hard to book me when I was going on TV.
Right. And now, so you decided to move the hotbed Comedy Central of the country in Arizona.
So this is, I actually got discovered in Albuquerque when I was living in my car. Prevenza.
I love Albuquerque.
Yeah, I love
Albuquerque.
Poetry. Listen to this. This is how I got discovered. When someone's like, how do you make it in comedy? I'm like, here's what you do, buddy.
sit down
when you're,
and get a ticket to Albuquerque.
When you're 22, you're going to move too fast in another relationship and you and her are going to go live out of your car for 2 years.
Is this what you did in Albuquerque? Yep.
Then you're going to, this is my advice to people who want to be comics. Then you're going to go gig to gig because you can't afford a place to stay. So you're going to ask for just enough money to make it to the next city. That means you're not going to have an actual route or goal. So you're not trying to get to LA. You're not trying to get to New York.
You're just
trying to get to the next gig so you can do comedy. So they're going to pass hats. You're going to sleep on floors. You're going to sleep in your car. Then you're going to do a gig in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's going to go fine. You have a gig in San Antonio the next day, which you're going to want to do when you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is you're going to want to take mushrooms. When you take mushrooms, you're going to sleep too late and you're going to miss your gig in San Antonio. Now, you can reschedule the gig in San Antonio. However, what's going to happen if you do everything right is it's going to snow in Texas. Probably, you think, triggered by your mushroom trip. Texas doesn't know how to handle snow, so they close. So you
can't
go into Texas. So you're going to befriend a slam poet in Albuquerque. He's going to give you a gig. At that gig, you show up to the gig as an audience member. You pay $10 to two strippers. Those two strippers give you back your money in quarters. Depending on how much you like the performer, that determines how many quarters you hurl at the stage. Then the strippers come with cups on their boobs. They come down. They put the change in their cups. You get paid in change in the back room. In the corner will be Paul Prevenza, who you're like, was that the guy from Northern Exposure before it went off the air? And it's like,
Yep.
He replaced the lead character, and then it went off the air.
I used to love that show.
Me too. I was doing like slam slam poetry stuff because I wasn't getting booked as a comic. Paul comes up to me and goes, "You're actually a comic, aren't you?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "I want to like help you. I was homeless for the next 2 weeks. So, oh, I forgot about this part. So then what we did, we snuck into a pay whatever you want meditation retreat, a Vipassana silent meditation retreat.
Oh, it sounds like a nightmare.
Because I was vegan and there was vegetarian food. Stayed there for 2 weeks. I get a text from Paul because I snuck my fucking phone in. I get a text from Paul, tell the meditation people I'm sick. They don't believe me and they want to see my throw up because people lie and freak out.
That's weird.
Break out in the middle of the night. I sneak into the girl side of camp to get my then girlfriend. She goes, "I'm staying." And I go, "All right, bye." And then I fucking leave. Then get into Just for Laughs because of Paul, and he takes me to China to open for him, and then I start making a living doing comedy.
So all you have to do is be homeless in Albuquerque for 2 weeks in your car, and then all that other stuff.
And then
stuff.
Escape a meditation cult.
And then take mushrooms.
And then take mushrooms, so Texas closes.
They wanted to see her throw up. That's so weird.
I was like, oh, there's like blood in it. I was like trying to be like too detailed. And I was like,
there's a fingernail and a finger attached to it. I think that's why I threw up.
It's pretty bad.
I swallowed a finger. I know you said this is vegan, but one of your vegan friends was pointing at me and telling me how to be vegan, and I got hungry and bit their finger.
Yeah. And if you believe me, I'll probably develop an unhealthy attachment. And do you want to move to Arizona? that's how
Paul Prevenza. So have you remained friends with him?
Yeah, he just texted me now. He wants to see me before I go. So this actually goes to the comedy thing we were talking about before we went off the air. So when I moved to LA, I really haven't done comedy a lot. I did a couple of like the Tripoli Rogan shows at the Store.
And how long have you been in LA now?
Like 3 years, dude.
Yeah. It hasn't been that long.
And I think that I was really scared because I've had different factions of different groups say mean or untrue things about me. And so
everybody and what they say or think, man.
But whenever I show up, I'm like, what do these people think about me? Like, what is the preconception? And then because my gigs were so few and far between, I would always do... I mean, the solid set I have now is new. It's like a set I've done this year. It's not like 10-year-old stuff, but I wouldn't want to do new stuff. I would be nervous.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like getting up. It didn't become a habit. I didn't have a home club. It was just a bummer. And I felt like a failure. And then when I did do shows, I put so much pressure on it that it wasn't fun. Like, I canceled shows.
I tried to Mr. Miyagi.
I really thought you caught that. You could have pretended you did, and I would have been so impressed. And not said anything. Just my eyes went so wide.
I'm listening. The fly came right in your face.
So Paul's always been the one that I've gone to and been like, I'm going to quit comedy. And he's like, you're a piece of shit. Don't quit. Like, he took me, he's the reason that I was famous for a brief amount of time. Like, he took me to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival when I wasn't making a living in New York, put me up on his couch. And suddenly I was playing these huge music festivals overseas and getting reviews and getting written up and I could make a living. That's because of Paul. So every time I told Paul I wanted to quit, he would just call me a pussy and he would yell at me and like nag me back into doing comedy.
Solid. It's like a Russian Olympian coach.
Yeah. And it made me hate comedy more sometimes. Like, I remember at Robin Williams' funeral, he started like yelling at me about it and I like almost like punched him in the face.
Why was he yelling at Robin Williams' funeral?
Just because Robin was always the one who told me not to quit. When Robin died, I was like, I'm going to quit. And so Paul started like, he was just drunk at the bar and started yelling at me about it. And I was obviously like really emotional.
How did you meet Robin Williams? When did he come to
my show in San Francisco. And then he just asked to come backstage before the show and said,
what were you thinking? Like, who told you that?
So there's a comic named Rick Overton and an
actor. I know Rick.
Yeah. So Rick was really good friends with Robin.
Yeah.
And Rick knew my stuff because of Prevenza.
Yep.
And so Rick brought Robin. They were just hanging out in San Francisco. And Robin came backstage and he was...
What were you feeling? Like, what did you... when you saw him, what did you think?
Comfortable right away.
Really?
Right away. Because he's wonderful.
Yeah, he was so fucking
so
magical.
So genuine and magical. And what was cool was... He would talk in like a really hushed like tone.
I loved his voice.
But he would still have the same emphatic energy.
Yeah.
So he would, you know, like after the show, he was like doing my like bits back to me. He was like, oh, the one where you were, but he was quiet.
Yeah.
You know, but his hands were still going.
Yeah.
And he was still really excited. And he was like, you know, when you said that thing about Miles Davis, like, I remember like I used to like see Miles Davis in New York, like driving down the street in his convertible and like, but he was quiet and he was looking down.
Right.
And it was like a shy version of Robin Williams. And I remember I did the show And, you know, a lot of comics fucking don't laugh, don't watch other comedians, whatever. It was at the Punchline.
It's an occupational hazard.
It's an occupational hazard. And actually, stepping away from comedy has made me love it again.
Yeah, you have to. Cool. It's with everything. You got it. When you're in it, you need. You don't have that perspective. You got to get that bird's eye view to get out of everything. A relationship, your own head, your career.
Yeah, because you get bitter. You forget how cool it is. You forget that when you started comedy, your dream was, if I can just make $25 as an MC, like, I'll be happy, you know?
Yeah.
And suddenly you're headlining in fucking Kansas City. And no perspective. And the feature act is doing the big black dick
the
thing
big
with,
black
a,
dick
with
thing,
a mic
and you're
stand.
Annoyed.
And you're just like, fuck comedy. Fuck this.
Yep. Someone said to me once, or it might have been an Instagram post. I can't remember because now prolific things just come in memes. don't forget, you used to want what you already have. Yeah. And that's always, I mean, it's a human instinct to want more.
Yeah.
Because we're all, you know, we have these cells in us that are dying to evolve.
Well, you have to
balance
it.
Which is the irony.
Yeah, you have to balance it with gratitude. Like, I think that the meaning of life is really growth, you know?
Absolutely.
But at the same time, if you're not grateful for what you already have, to balance that, you're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's where a lot of comics get a lot of times, you know?
Right. And so those comedians, like you say, were they not laughing after those shows? In San Francisco?
Well, no. What I was going to say is just comics in general. Myself, I've been guilty of this. When Robin was at my show, arguably the most famous comedian who I've ever seen at a comedy club, the Punchline's really dark. You've played there, right?
Yeah.
You can't really see the audience. I knew exactly where he was sitting because he was laughing so fucking loud. And it was his laugh.
Yeah.
And he was in the back booth in the center. I can still see it in darkness when I think about it right now.
Wow.
And
I can't imagine making Robin Williams laugh on the Punchline stage, which is like legend. Like San Francisco Punchline is a legendary comedy club.
Yeah, and then Molly, please email me back. And then
I love Molly.
And then she's the best. I don't think I'm going to be back at that club.
all right, move on.
And then him coming backstage and quoting your jokes to you.
That's what I'm saying. Like when you say you're comfortable, it's I guess because I wasn't there. It's a testament to Robin's energy, but I would have been like, I probably would have cried.
Well, the thing is, like, he made you feel so comfortable and so special that I didn't understand why Barack Obama was talking about my dead friend when he died. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, like, the second I met him, forgot how big he was.
Right.
At all. Didn't get...
And that's all
wasn't
him.
Wasn't nervous. I definitely had this moment where I'm like, I'm gonna fucking murder tonight. Like, I was like, I'm bringing this everything I have.
Anytime I have those moments, it's just crickets.
I've had a couple where it's like, because it's also, I've never been comfortable making a living. So I'm like, this is going to be it.
Yeah, this is my last show.
And by the way, it happened. Like, he was like, what do you need? And I was like, anything. And the next week I had
Robin asked you what you needed.
And I had his agent. I had his manager. I did a showcase at UCB, just like an hour solo show. And I had friends in the audience who just said, there was industry in line being like, yeah, I've never heard of this guy, but like Robin Williams like called our office.
Dude.
Someone sent me like a Time Out London like a year after that. And he didn't say this, where they asked Robin like, who are your favorite comics? And he said, me and Joy Behar. Or not Joy. Dead, offensive Jewish. Joan Rivers.
Dead, offensive Jewish. That's going to be on my Instagram profile.
Dead, offensive Jewish. Joan
God,
Rivers.
She was...
But like that, like insanity, right? So then the first time I was going to quit was when Rogan and I had that falling out years ago.
What happened with you and Rogan?
Well, so the last time I went back on Rogan,
two
years ago, it was like our redemption becoming friends again. But he had me on at the height of my like preachy social justice thing.
Oh, yeah. When you were like, and you couldn't... You got stuck in that.
Yeah, well, because again, I felt like I failed as a comic, and the people that were loving me were these like very left of left people, because it's very easy to be the funny one in that group. And it was the first time I felt accepted. It was the first time I felt smart. It was the first time I felt validated. And like, not to get political, and I'm not one of those people that's like, white guy, let's talk about white guys. We have problems. Like, no, we don't have problems as much. However,
as much as you guys are the problem,
we are
according to society,
oftentimes the problem. Like, if there was like a criminal lineup and you didn't even tell me the crime, and it was like a Muslim lady, a trans person, like a white guy, I'd be like,
it's a white guy.
It's Chad, clearly.
Yeah, it's Tristan.
And yeah. And but at the same time, when you're so knee deep in that world, oftentimes when you disagree or when you, I don't know, you like, I would always think if I was like, this is going too far, or like going after this comedian for saying this is probably not what we should be focusing on.
Right.
I would kind of just assume, well, I'm probably wrong because I'm the privileged one in this case. So like, I'm going to kind of be quiet. And I was around a lot of just mean, pretentious people. So, and I was, didn't have confidence. So anyway, so.
So where did the fight with Rogan start?
Oh, it was about the Daniel Tosh rape joke thing where we just like yelled at each other about feminism, and I was on the feminist side and he was on the comedian side.
And what was your argument about that?
Well, my argument.
Because that was years ago.
Yeah, it wasn't.
That was like six years ago?
It was a long time ago. It wasn't.
What was the joke? Do you remember what his joke was?
Okay, so this is what Rogan and I talked about. The way it was presented to the left, it was Daniel Tosh got on stage and said, like, let's joke about rape. And some woman goes, rape is never funny. And then Daniel Tosh said, you know what would be funny? If you got raped.
Right.
Like five guys right yep. now. And then she left crying. So everyone was like, fuck Daniel Tosh on the left. What actually happened that I didn't know before I said fuck Daniel Tosh was kind of much more nuanced, where he shows in for a drop-in spot. He goes, what do you guys want to talk about? Some douchebag, Chad or Tristan, said rape.
Tristan.
And then he actually made kind of a really subversive rape joke where he's like, oh, yeah, rape's super funny. What can we talk about? We can talk about the guilt. We can talk about the shame. We can talk about, you know, whatever.
Right. The layers of rape layers.
Yeah. And
then, which are playing at Coachella.
Yes, they are. only the side stage, which is a bummer. I believe in them for
not the backstage.
Yeah, no. So then some woman goes, rape's not funny. And then he went into like heckler mode, said something that's not funny. Like, you should get raped by five guys isn't like the most clever joke in the world.
Right.
She leaves crying. And now Daniel Tosh is like a rape apologist.
Oh, God.
What I
remember all of that.
Yeah. And I mean, what I said is still kind of, I still believe in the sense that it's like Daniel Tosh has the free speech to make that rape joke. Other people have the free speech to call him a sexist asshole. Right. Like that should still be a thing. And there are ways, like Wanda Sykes has a great rape joke about needing like a detachable pussy. And like George Carlin has a really silly one about like Porky Pig being raped and whatever. But there is, and I will still say this, there is like a young breed of comics, not Daniel Tosh, who think that if you just make rape the punchline.
That's funny enough.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be context. There has to be some truth. There has to be some sort of through line from the punchline back to the source. Like, what is your point?
Yeah, but it was a stupid argument. We were both, I wasn't expecting the argument. I think
you guys got into a legit Twitter war?
Screaming at at one point he was standing up.
Wait, you guys were together?
Yeah, when I was on his podcast.
Oh.
At one point he was standing up shouting, would you rather be raped or murdered? Here's what people don't know.
You'd rather be want both.
I was sober for a while, and he was like, do you want to smoke before the show? Because I didn't think we were going to argue because we were friends.
Yeah.
And like I'd been on the show before, and I was like, yeah, sure. I am so high that entire fucking time that I forget if I've said this on a podcast before. That should be an anti-drug commercial. Is just like Joe Rogan being like, hey, you want to smoke weed? And it's like, yeah, totally. And then it's me high. And then it says 10 minutes later. And it's a terrifying Joe Rogan standing up screaming, would you rather be raped or murdered? And then it says, don't do drugs. Where I would
cut to your reaction. You're just like,
oh, it was. And I was just like, but the statistics of rape. Like, it was just awful. Yeah. And
is that episode still available?
Please don't send
Come
your people.
Come on, why not? I'm gonna watch it.
All right, sure.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yes, but the another thing that's available is the Jamie Kilstein podcast.
Yes, where can they find that?
On iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, or you can go to jamiekilsteinpodcast.com. All the links are there. It's also on Patreon.
I do something I want to do before we get any deeper into this.
Okay,
can I do one thing?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay, it's a segment that I started doing. And it's kind of, it suits what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's called This Bitch.
Oh, okay.
And it basically, I ask my fans and listeners to send in a story about any sort of issue they might have had with somebody.
That's great.
Family, coworker, friend, and then you and I can give advice.
And we're just like, this bitch.
We're like, this bitch.
So good. This is great.
Okay, this is from, I'm just going to read the name because unless you tell me not to, it's there. Thomas Luttrell says, hey, Jesse, love your Instagram podcast. Here's my submission for this bitch. I work at a head shop. She came in. Oh, wait, I already did this guy. Sorry, Thomas. I hope you figured that out. That was a lot of drama. The bitch who didn't know how to smoke weed, she had issues.
Oh, no.
Bonnie Garza.
Okay.
Been a fan of yours and would love to hear your take on this. My name is Bonsuela, and I've been friends with my BFF, Dominique, for about 5 or 6 years.
I'm glad she wasn't like, I got into an elevator and some nebbish Jew started yelling at me for not smiling.
A man chimpanzee. A chimpanzee. You're the chimpanzee.
I am. That's my wrestling name.
Is it?
No.
Oh, it should be.
You got so excited.
I did. She said, we've had some bumpy times in our friendship, but thought we were close until recent. Dun, dun, dun. Bum, bum. Dominique and I live in different cities, but aren't that far from each other to visit. We keep in touch via text, and she likes to call every other week or so to catch up and talk. Last week we spoke, she swore men off and was going to do the single thing. Fast forward to 2 weeks from that proclamation, and she sent a group text, including our other close friend, saying, I guess I have a boyfriend now. Is this your girlfriend?
I'm like,
my
heart's racing. It's either my girlfriend or my next one, I assume, once both of our relationships fall through.
She says, I was confused. Basically, I found out by a group text that her new boyfriend is our mutual guy friend, Dave.
Damn.
A guy that I hooked up with and dated about 3 years ago.
Uh-oh.
Dominique knew I dated him. She was there when we met and knew all about our dates. Oh, I want to say we only dated for about maybe 2 weeks max. Okay. Because the guy had made plans prior to when we met that he was moving abroad. This is all like mixed in with your shit.
I know.
He came back to the States less than a year ago. Now apparently they are dating. I'm not upset they're an item. I'm really bothered by the fact she didn't tell me outside the group text. According to our other friend in the group, Dominique has been sneaking around with the guy. Why sneak around? She says, I responded to her group text, essentially calling her out for not coming to me first and instead doing a group text. I was mean about it, but I was frank. And Frank is a guy who you should be fucking to forget all this drama.
Yeah.
That was last Monday. She never responded, but continued to look at my IG stories and be active on IG. I never talked to her since. Meanwhile, she knows I plan to visit her in my former city for Memorial Day weekend. So this is back. If I see her, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to say something to her face. So it already happened, but I hope you dealt with it. But
I have a thought.
What's your feeling on this?
So my
Dominique and Bonsuela.
So my feeling, I should take Bonsuela's side.
Yes.
Because I need new podcast listeners. But what I will say is, to actually get something accomplished, right? Like, I could be like, it would be easy to be like, this bitch was sneaking around behind your back, blah, blah, blah. But I also think that Bonsuela is making so much drama out of this that
yeah.
doesn't need to be there. And I say this like in a really loving way, where something I've been working on with myself, that my girlfriend's really been working on, is because she would tell me about this all the time, like at her office, where everyone is just so mean and gossipy. And a lot of times when we are so focused on all these things is because there's something that we're not dealing with ourselves.
It's like a projected focus.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. If I were the girl, I'd be more uncomfortable where I'm like, oh, my friend was fucking my boyfriend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and she could have been sneaking around because she felt bad. And then maybe she felt bad. And this could not be it, by the way. But hypothetically. And then maybe she did the group text because she's like, you know what? I'm too nervous and scared to talk to my best friend about this. Maybe if I do it in the group text more celebratory, it'll be okay, right? Maybe she was sneaking around.
This bitch.
Maybe she was sneaking around because she was just trying to find a good way to tell her. Who the fuck knows? But what I'm seeing in this email is when she goes, why is she still looking at my Instagram stories? Why are you checking your Instagram stories to see if she's looking?
Yeah, why do you fucking care?
You know what
care?
I mean? Like, you are spending too much time. Like,
you're too focused on this. Here's like the main issue. A, Dominique's not your friend. Okay? She's not your friend because she fucked a dude that you fucked. That is off limits.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
I don't disagree with that.
Fuck him, you don't fuck him. I suck a dick, you don't suck a dick. There's a line drawn. And also, like, Bonsuela, I agree with what he's saying. You're spending, you need to take up a Zumba class, girl. You are way too occupied in the dramatic pastimes of women who are not your friend. Yeah. Women build women up. In relationships, no matter if it's a friend relationship or a romantic relationship, if the person isn't your fan, you got to throw them to the fucking street. Put them in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because life is too short to be spending your time and energy on people who don't care about you. And what you're saying about her putting that message in the group text, no. I'm sorry. That's some weak ass shit. That's a weak bitch. Who can't, if she's not going to tell you to your face in... like do it in a group text, that's how she views you as a person that you're not good enough to talk to. So I wouldn't even have gone up to her face on that Memorial Day parade. But if you did, I hope you felt better. But you need to pick your friends much better.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like you're picking people just to fill a void, Bonsuela.
Yeah, and I've been there, and this is something that I've really been working on. Where
I had a very aggressive point that whole time.
The point and the head movement was
I got into it.
So good.
She got my truth.
Yeah, and you're right about all that stuff. And I wasn't saying like, oh, Bonsuela, like your email sucks. Like, why are you... What I was saying is like, you sound better than all of this.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I have a friend who the last time he got mad at me was because I didn't do cocaine with him because I said I was sober. And it's like, is that a
friend? Is that friend?
You know what I mean?
Like, God, that, you do need to get out of LA.
And where I got to with that is, all right, and this is what you can do, Bonsuela, because obviously I'm Dominique means a lot to you, which is
fuck
if
her.
You don't want to write her off entirely, then you can do what I'm doing, which is like, I'm not going to put an effort into this.
Yes.
And if you want to come to me and you want to say you fucked up, or if you want to try to hang out and it's not inconveniencing my life, then I will think about it and I'll do it. But one of the best pieces of advice I've heard is you are essentially like the sum of the five people you surround yourself with.
And that's 100% true.
It's so good. Where when I'm surrounding myself with people I look up to, that
who build
I
you up, who have goals that are similar.
Yes.
So I think what he's saying, Bonsuela, is you need to get some new five friends.
Yeah.
Unless you want to be a lion cheating hoe.
Yeah.
And she cheated on your friendship.
Yeah.
So that's just
that was what I was saying.
That's some this bitch church right here. That's exactly what he was saying.
Yeah.
Where can all of my people find you?
In a
moving van on the way to Arizona.
We're driving away with my cat. I should say that this was like, there was a lot of hyperbole. I just want to say, I think we're going to be great. What I'm excited about being out there, and this is the Provenza thing, like I'm excited about remembering why I like comedy.
Yeah, it's important.
Instead of doing it in LA, because I was going to quit when I moved out there. And because the podcast is taking off now, I think it's daily. Like I think we're doing something special where we're talking about politics without screaming and calling people Nazis. And we're just kind of making fun of bad people on either side.
Yeah.
But also, like, we have 17-year-old LGBT punk kids who listen to the show and 50-year-old church conservatives.
Yep.
And they're talking to each other. And it's fucking awesome.
That's awesome.
And we talk a lot about like mental health and stuff like that, too. So the show is really special, and I thought I was going to stop stand-up, but Provenza told me this. I hope he's cool with me telling this on the air, but he was like big.
We talked all about your relationship. I think you can talk about Provenza.
Good. Yeah,
Provenza can deal with
that's
this.
That's what gets me in trouble.
Yeah. This is what he gets for screaming at you at Robin Williams' funeral. That's what you get, Provenza.
But he was like a huge comic in the 80s, like on mm-hmm. TV, like all those stand-up shows and shit.
Yeah.
And then he got a crazy case of stage fright, which is, I feel like, kind of what I'm going through right now. I think the material I'm writing right now is like the best, but the fact that like I've bailed on shows because and I think a lot of it has to do with LA. A lot of it has to do with I'm not doing it enough.
Yeah. And how you feel about yourself. And,
yep.
And
yes.
You know.
And so I got really excited to quit and I was like, oh, leaving LA is the perfect excuse. And so I go to tell Provenza, who every time I went to quit would scream at me at funerals. And I think he's going to just like give it to me, like, and he's gonna just call me all these names. And he said, I think this is the best thing for your comedy. And he told me after he got huge, he got this crippling case of stage fright as well, doesn't go on stage for however long, maybe years, gets an offer to do a gig in like Paris or something, and he goes, well, I'm never gonna go to fucking Paris, worst case I bomb and I got a free trip, I'm gonna do it. And he rediscovered his love of comedy. He's doing crowd work. He's doing stuff about the city.
So you're going to the Paris of the United
States. Arizona. But I think there's going to be something about being in a artistic community that isn't vying for TV spots. Like when I started.
Like San Francisco back in the day.
Yes.
It was just pure arts. There was no Hollywood.
God, totally.
It was just all about
Seattle,
the performance.
Chicago. I mean, like Chicago too. Like Mulaney, Kumail, Hannibal.
Yep.
Those guys, like Hannibal would open for anyone who came through. Hannibal's technically opened for me four times. Because he would just want to do stage time for any headliner who came through the Lakeshore Theater. And they just turned into murderers in this cool supportive city. And then by the time they went to New York or LA, they were monsters. And so that happened to Provenza in like the UK. He started doing the UK stuff. And even just thinking about it, I haven't even been on stage yet. Even just thinking about it, I'm suddenly like, I'm writing my friends and being like, let me feature for you. And I'm trying to line up like feature dates. And I'm like, not trying to headline away.
You sent me a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Where I'm like, I just want to be around people I love, people I respect, talk about bits at like over breakfast and do spots. And if that means I'm only getting $100 and I'm doing 20 minutes, I'm like, I would rather that than suddenly be like, I want to headline again and I want to go to Tucson and play in front of 15 people, but like
right.
see who their local comics are. And because these local scenes too, like they push the boundaries more than like, you know, a lot of.
In some of them, there's a lot of local scenes that are creating safe spaces now.
I'm sure.
And think that that's, you know, realistic for comedy.
Yeah.
But I think you stepping away will be good.
Yeah.
Tucson's cool.
Yeah.
So where can they, is your podcast, it's every day now?
So it's every, yeah. So what happens is, so Monday through, and it's short. So Monday through Wednesday, it's 20 minutes to a half an hour of just like, here are the crazy news stories. Here are some different ways to look at it. Funny, funny, joke, joke. And then Thursday.
Spotify, SoundCloud, all that.
Spotify, just Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes.
Okay.
And then Thursday is like a big interview. So it'll be either with like a comedian or like.
Political figure.
Yeah. And like controversial from the right or the left.
Right.
And instead of like, again, screaming at them.
Having a conversation.
Yeah. And it's really cool just to see, even if you disagree with someone, just to see that they're human.
Yeah,
and that maybe there's a chance to have a decent conversation.
Well, we don't, you know, instead of having just hillbilly screaming and then liberals screaming, there's some point and there's an actual debate that's happening.
Exactly. And then the Patreon episode's Friday, and that's when we talk about like stand up and mental health and suicide stuff and shit like that.
And so you're gonna go out to Arizona, get stung by a cactus, come back, and then
right
get back on stage.
I did Sam Tripoli's show, and one of his sponsors is like one of those like gambling sites, and he literally put down a bet with everyone there about over under when I leave
Arizona.
And everyone had my bet. Sam thinks I'm gonna come back for comedy under a year.
I do.
Everyone else said over a year. And then the girl, Fight Nanny, who was so cool, who I'd never met before. She'd never met me. She'd never heard any of our podcasts. She just goes, you're a good guy, so you're going to honor your lease, and then you're going to crush this girl, and you're going to come back to Los
Angeles. And I think that's what you should do. And that's all. That's
what I should do?
Yeah. Yeah. You have to take care of yourself. Enough of these women.
Yeah.
Okay?
I got to talk to you off the air about
you. Let me know. I just keep me up to date with your Arizona ventures, and I want to know like if you're stung by a scorpion or if she's your girlfriend shows up with a knife one day because you didn't take time to really figure out who she was as an individual. I hope it's not that.
I want to do shows with you, so
okay,
we should do
well it. I'm definitely not going to fucking Arizona. No, I love Arizona.
It's cool.
Yeah, maybe if you're still there when I'm out there, we can go and do shows together. Okay,
all right.
I'm gonna do a background check on your girlfriend.
Okay,
bye.